Sorry, Kennedy and Johnson believe that if one country holds another, the others will follow. Are you in agreement with that? Do you think that if one country has power over another, that it's going to fall on, like, about the communist thing and stuff? Do you think that's true?
No, I don't really know. It's my opinion. In Vietnam, I'm following this opinion. And that is that, of course, nowadays, you know, communists are supposedly a thing of the past or whatever, and capitalism is coming in, and democracy maybe. Democracy exists anywhere in the world, I'm not sure it's true. But, I think some countries, as I said, Vietnam being one of them, probably Cambodia, Southeast Asia, they're so poor, that I'm not so sure that they're not better off because of they're so illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not so sure they're not better off under something like communism.
Think so?
Yeah, because to me it seems that the only true people or the only part of the populace that's affected, like in Vietnam for example, directly by the war, was the educated. The ones that probably in 74 or 75, whenever the mass exodus was, and they was hanging off with helicopters and such as that. I suspect that those with money, those that were educated and had money, were a large part of the ones that probably got out with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see those folks out in the country that where I was most of the time having a chance. They didn't have a chance before or after,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. So I think a large segment of that population, that it didn't make any difference other than they're losing life, be it a husband or a wife or children. I can give you specific examples of where people were wounded by sheer American stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think a lot of unnecessary killing and torturing, badgering people. I think a lot of that went on. That was probably very unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may have been done out of fear, probably, on the American side. Because we were certainly outwitted. Even though the Americans never lost a major battle anywhere in Vietnam. Guerrilla warfare, the way that we were trying to fight that war, didn't work with the Americans. Didn't work with the French. We should have learned something. We, the Americans, should have learned something from World War II in the Philippines. Where we fought guerrilla warfare and got our butt kicked.
Mm.
You know, Nixon stopped bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail. He stopped bombing Ho Chi Minh City. Which, in my opinion, was a joke. I mean, it was an absolute joke. So I think they took some pressures off where they should have kept them. Not to say that it may have changed the outcome of the war. But, it got to the point there where we had to get permission to fire weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you were under direct fire. You could actually watch Viet Cong walk across the rice paddies to your position, and you couldn't shoot. You couldn't drop a hand grenade on them or something. You just couldn't. So it's pretty pitiful, actually, to call something a war. And
have to wait for orders.
I called him one night for that specific reason. They just told me to observe him. Well, I said, I am observing him. He's right below me.
Watching him very carefully.
Yeah. It's stuff like that. I don't know.
Okay. Alright. Well, you know, you know about Lieutenant William Calley Jr., don't you? About the guy who... Yeah. 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 What do you think... I read a little bit about him from my text. Mm-hmm. And how do you think about his sentence? You know, how he got, like, 20 years, but then when it cooled off, he basically just got out. Do you think... What do you think about that?
Well, at the time, of course, realizing that was many years ago, but at that time, I felt that he was being used as a scapegoat. I understand, personally, having been there and having been in certain situations, how a platoon, and I don't remember how many, he may have had a company that wiped out Mealy. I can understand how one could mistakenly kill innocent people,
mm-hmm.
because there was no way in that type of warfare that you could distinguish the enemy or the good guys from the bad guys. They're all Vietnamese or Chinese. So it's just like the Kit Carson scout that I used to carry with me. I couldn't take him out at night on ambushes because he could get killed,
mm-hmm.
because he's Vietnamese. He's a good guy, but no one knew that.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of a firefight or something, no one knows that stuff. There would be times when you would go into certain parts of an area of the country where you would have those villagers, like we spoke of earlier, that would be more hostile.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell by the way they carried themselves that they were probably Viet Cong at night. You were never more than just an instant away of shooting. If they made the wrong move, they were dead. And it could be perhaps that Mealy, I wasn't there, obviously, but maybe Mealy was that kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, just maybe, the little 3 and 4 year old kids who the Viet Cong would tie hand grenades to, or get them to come bring you a hand grenade, all of a sudden here you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of circumstances that surrounded that I have no knowledge of. Best I recall is that I think at the time he was used as a scapegoat. I think that some of the killing, perhaps, some of the battles, who knows, politically speaking, they may have wanted to get the American public's mind off of the war. In one respect, maybe a given battle or something, and all of a sudden direct the nation's attention onto a village called Mealy. And it happened to be this particular guy and his company,
mm-hmm.
that were given orders to go in there. Now, I can be the devil's advocate now and say, wait a second, you know, this guy was a man that he didn't want any of his folks that reported to him, any of the people under him, to get killed. They've got families, they won't go home. It's like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can I do to maximize saving their life?
Mm-hmm.
One way to wipe out everybody you see. That's one way. Doesn't mean it's a right way,
mm-hmm.
but it's a way. And apparently, it ended up being an exercise he opted for some reason. You know, I wouldn't put any judgment on him personally,
mm-hmm.
having not been there. Now, if there were and his trial and all that, I didn't keep up with directly, because at the time I felt like he was being used. At the time I thought he was being tried, and he still probably he was being tried by people that's never been there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know. They didn't know what the fear was like. They didn't know what the circumstances were like, the country, the terrain, the weather, the heat, the cold. A lot of circumstances trigger people. For folks, in my opinion, to know nothing of that, even to this day, for people that want to sit and talk with me about Vietnam, they better have been there. Otherwise, I turn them off. You're not going to talk to me about something that you've never experienced, in my opinion, because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's the way I feel. I have been in situations personally where I have, as I said earlier, done some things I wished I had not. Some children and men were killed, and I went to find out why. And we had to interrogate this woman, and we had trouble getting answers out of her, and we had to beat her to get answers out of her. I wouldn't hurt anybody like that ever again. However, I thought that was my job at the time. But I see her face a lot, having struck her so that she could give me information so that I could use that information to save lives, save a life, especially my own or those that were with me, was very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
My decision was that by roughing this woman up, that I could live with that more than I could to death.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have to live with going forward, along with other things. And at times it's not easy, but over time it's gotten easier somehow. My whole point is that you do what you have to do at the time based on the circumstances, and you don't have a lot of time to make a decision. And I think that's what he got caught up in. It makes a difference if the people were innocent. But if it was a Viet Cong village, which you know of, we as the guy looking for them, we know where they're at a lot of times. And he may have been misinformed by his upper echelon to say this is a known Viet Cong village, burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
I burnt that village.
Mm-hmm.
I chased Viet Cong at night through villages. And when the villagers wouldn't give me information, I burnt down their house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that was the right thing to do at the time. They had to know that I meant business. That when I come through their village, which I would do frequently late in the evening running, and I would have a radio man and maybe a scout sniper with me. When I come through their village and run upon them, they better have IDs that show they're near legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But they go with me, you see. So it's an attitude. It's that back to that callous thing. It's back to, what are you here for? What do you think you're here for? What have you got to do to survive all this crap?
Mm-hmm.
You don't just, it ain't an 8-to-5 job. It's 24 hours a day, every breath you take. For as long as you're there. When you see all the death, Allison, the death laying around you, bodies stacked up like cordwood, literally. People with jaws blown off of them, and naked 14, 15-year-old Viet Cong children, teenagers, hadn't been placed in the missionary position like they were having sex, and naked bodies crawling up a sandbank by a river to try to escape being killed, and those kinds of things, and those stay on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Those are impressions that you have that are always there. And you always tend to look back and wonder if you could have done something else, and yet it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late. So the best thing, the only thing one can do is to try to live with those memories such that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the summation of the at least my first tour. So.
Okay.